Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
And I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and welcome to The Rock. We're on the edge in the darkness and trees, trying to see 38 planes on the bus. I am here saying a prayer, but if we're going to stop the world at the Dover Fault, then something's missing. In the bar, we're going to heave away, but when it's me in the sky, I'll be leading us out of the night while phoning home in 28 hours. We're having our blankets and bedding somewhere in the middle of nowhere and say finale. Joining us today, our usual costume party guests, including Kevin Screechin' Jaeger.
That's me, screeching all day, every day.
Kimberly, our screech out game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
I had to take the opportunity to come from away one more time. And with us today is a returning guest who we love and are so happy to have him back. You've seen him in Hot Feet, Sister Act, The Pee Wee Herman Show, and of course, Come From Away. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
And Ithaca College alum, go Bombers, Caesar Sarai.
Hello. I'm so happy to be back.
We are thrilled to have you back. It's always a pleasure. You've always been so kind to us with your time between the episodes and, of course, the holiday shows that we do. So thank you so much for joining us. There's so much to talk about. So let's just get started with what are you drinking? Well, why don't you start first, Caesar?
Well, I'm kind of drinking iced tea right now. It is as boring as it can get because I am in a car. I've actually parked on the side of the Palisades Parkway. I didn't get to my destination. And I think this is my first, kind of podcast recording I've ever done in a vehicle. So I could be drinking with you right now because I just finished a matinee, but I am not.
Amazing.
Like, I feel like this should be the James Corden segment where, like, we make him sing through his career and, like, carpool karaoke.
Yes.
This is total karaoke time.
Right, I just feel like our brand of broad-wasted doesn't blend with carpool karaoke very well.
Like, the whole drinking thing.
Yeah.
It's off-brand.
Ours would 100% be like, it would be like Uber karaoke. Like,
yes.
Instead of cash cab.
Yeah.
Karaoke cab.
Or it would start with
funny.
Or we play a game to see who's the designated driver. Like, whoever loses has to be the DD for the game.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we do Uber karaoke.
Totally.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I have my sensible margarita from my pitcher.
Beautiful. Kimberly?
I have a very weak gin and tonic. Because it's not early yet.
Sure. I have a little tequila with melted rocks.
Oh. Cheers.
And a splash.
Gin and tonic is my drink.
Mm. Yes, mine too. Brian, I like that glass. Is that from your wedding?
Yeah, these are from the registry. I'm obsessed with them.
They're very cool.
Right? They're very old school, like old fashioned, like 50s, 60s.
These were from my registry.
Oh, really? Nice.
Welcome to married life, Brian.
Yeah. And you just got married, right, Caesar?
I just got married in June, June 18th. I wish I had a glass from my registry, but we didn't have one.
Oh.
So here we are.
I love it. Well, let's get right into it. I mean, let's just start with Come From Away.
I thought we were going to talk about the wedding. And I was like, first question, did you know the person you got married to? Or was this one of those like 90-day fiancé situations?
We met at the wedding.
Yes!
Great.
Christopher and I have been together for 13 years, so we know each other very well. And we're finally married. And everyone Congrats. Who I didn't believe that said it feels different. And I said, how could it feel different after 13 years? I get it now. I get it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's the best.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Mazel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Come From Away. You just recently played your final performance as Kevin, and now you're here replacing our Kevin. I'm going to delete him. No. But I mean, the question I'm going to ask, and I'm not going to ask you about like how you felt. I really want to ask you, like, you're 2 weeks out from your last year performance. You were with Come From Away for a very long time, a musical that means a lot, that we've talked about meaning a lot to you and what you could bring to people's experiences within the theater. Looking back, like, what are you gonna take from it? Like, what was like the top couple of like special things that, like, you know, immediately looking back, you can kind of put into words, because I'm sure a lot of it is intangible.
Oh my gosh. I was with Come From Away almost 8 years, over 7 years. I was with Come From Away, developing the show in 4 different venues and then finally getting to Broadway through the pandemic. We did a live capture and then reopened the show on Broadway. The family that we have created in that building is astonishing. I mean, and it goes from the top down. Junkyard Dogs, who are our producers, I have never worked for anybody like them. Mm-hmm. It is family first, no matter what. We have been through everything with each other. I mean, it feels like a lifetime of circumstances with each other. Births and deaths and marriages and separations and everything in between. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are like family now. These are like my brothers and sisters. And it just the parallel with the show is so beautiful, because it is about opening your heart and opening your souls to people. And this show has done that. So it walks the walk, it talks the talk. And being away from it, I get to step back and like, wow, that was what an honor to have that be a part of my life, especially in the entertainment industry, that it can be so transient. You know, we go from job to job and people are your best friends, and then you leave a show and they kind of disappear. And it's not the case here. We are friends for life with anybody who walked through that building.
Sure. That's amazing. I mean, I guess now you're in the new Lacusa musical.
Yes.
Like, I mean, good reason to move on. talk about that transition, because you're talking about like 8 years with a family and then all this and transient and like, and the industry can be so transient. And now you're kind of popped into a new show with new people, with new content. You know, what was that like in terms of like a transition for you, it being with something for so long and then like starting with a new family?
I mean, I think shell shock is a good word to use.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I did double duty. I was doing performances of Come From Away at night and learning, you know, Michael John's music during the day. And I do not recommend that to anybody. You need 100% focus for his glorious music. It just feels... The last part of that show I thought I was ready. I thought I was like, you know, I'm at peace with this decision that I made. I'm ready to move on. And as that day approached, my heart started hurting. You know, the closer I got to that last performance, and what surprised me the most is how many memories came rushing back. Stuff that I forgot about. Stuff that happened in La Jolla and Seattle and Washington, D.C. And moments that came up in those different venues and why they came up and the actors who invented them. It was just a beautiful kind of trip down memory lane those last 2 weeks that I was with Come From Away.
Here's a very important question. Are you still able to do a show that's longer than 90 minutes?
Well, guess what? Los Otros is 85 minutes.
So you'll never need to know.
I went down. I think my next show is going to be 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I said the universe is going to give me like a 3-hour, you know, 2-intermission extravaganza when I come away. And it gave me the opposite. It gave me a shorter theatrical kind of experience. But it's a 2-person show and we are on that stage the entire time and we are doing everything. So
I am so excited for like in 5 years when Caesar's agent calls him, he's like, I literally can't do a show longer than 70 minutes. I'm not breaking the trend here. They introduced the first 35-minute Broadway show just because Caesar's agent is like, he can only do 35 minutes. That's all he's got.
They cut down Les Mis to one act.
I'm going to do the first 5-minute musical by the end of my career.
Yeah, sounds great. Yes. Are you?
It's Caesar doing just the opening of Into the Woods, just the opening number, and then he goes, and then he goes home.
Yeah, that's it.
Playing all the characters, because apparently that's what I'm doing.
It's perfect.
I'm obsessed with this.
I guess tell us a little bit about the Lacusa show. Like, what should we expect from it in terms of like, what do you want people to feel walking out of it? What's, you know, tell us a little bit about it. Some previews at the time of recording this.
Yeah, we just finished our first week of previews today, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, what a beautiful piece. I heard Michael Don call it his independent film of a piece, and I couldn't agree more, because it is so simple and so beautiful. Luba Mason, who is my partner in crime in this.
Cool.
If you've all seen her work, I mean, she's
a force
of nature. Yeah. She's a force of nature, and to be able to work with her and explore these two characters, it is a simple story of ordinary people whose kind of stories just explode and go into gosh, all these different themes that you couldn't even imagine. Things like immigration and assimilation and feeling like you belong in this country and feeling like you don't, and trying to find that connection between people and where you belong. It's one of those kind of simple, beautiful pieces that you go to the theater and you have to listen to every single word, because it's everything is so theatrically and simply told. There are no sets. There's no big costumes. There's no big orchestra. It's about what the actor is doing at that moment in time. And anybody who knows Michael John's music knows that they are in for a ride, a thrill ride of music.
That's amazing. I'm super excited for that.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you can please come. Please come to see it.
That's incredible.
I love a 2-person musical.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So here's a question. This is unrelated, and I just love this question so much. I'm obsessed with it. You've been with Come From Away for a long time. You're just starting this one. If you could age through a show. So you can go back in time and you can start at the youngest part of that single show. And then as your career keeps going, you can play every role that you wanted to in that show. What show would you age through? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Oh my gosh. That's a good one. Wow. Ooh, I'm kind of stuck on this one. You know, I'm obsessed with the Sweeney Todd. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We know them. And I would love to play every damn role in that. Yeah. And if they do a Broadway backwards version of it, I'd love to play Mrs. Lovett as well.
Yes.
Joanna.
But
like,
Yeah, well, you start with what, Toby, and mm-hmm. then you work your way all the way up to what, like the judge
the beggar woman, the judge.
Yeah. End with the beggar woman.
Yeah, I mean, you also have Anthony, you have, mm-hmm. you know, the Beetle, you have all Pirelli. These awesome, oh my gosh, and think of all those roles. Think of how you can sink your teeth into all of them.
And it's not even just how great the actual characterization is. It's like with the beggar woman, you're hitting all these incredible tritones and like amazing kind of like it's just like the melodies that you get to do with each. Like the Beetle is such a fun kind of like show-offy, like flourishy kind of vocal part. Like there's so many different parts to it
I can't even imagine what it would take to sing all of that glorious music. I mean, going back to your question, speaking about aging in Los Otros, I go from 4 years old to 78 years old. So I'm kind of aging.
Also, you're doing the entire it.
Show. So they're doing I'm it. Doing so it that's right your answer.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually doing it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked that question because I knew it. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. I just researched. She knew the plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. You know where I know where I don't know the plot?
Yeah. Where, Brian?
Tuesdays in the car
with Kevin.
It's Kevin's Corner. You don't know the plot. That was a good one, Brian.
That was really well played. So welcome to Kevin's Corner. This is my part of the show where I get to do whatever I want. And it's hilarious that you're in a car. I love everything about that. But today, all of my questions are along a very serious kind of track. So I hope you're ready to go down kind of a more serious path with me. Because today's Kevin's Corner is entitled No Longer Kevin. So I know that you are in a place in your world now that you are no longer part of the brotherhood that are Kevin's since you've left Come From Away. So my very first question is, what feels the most different day to day no longer being a Kevin?
Well, the fact that I can't like clap at someone and say like freaking the fuck out on a regular basis feels very, it almost feels like a part of myself is missing. Really.
That is true, because as a Kevin, you get to kind of do more ridiculous things and people are always like, that's Kevin behavior.
Absolutely. Like, oh, Kevin, yep. Kevin always does that.
100%. And you can't do that anymore, because if you do it now, people are like, Caesar, I expect more of you.
If I did that in this show, Luba Mason would grab me and throw me to the ground. And I wouldn't blame her for it.
That's amazing. My second question is, what was the final meal that you had before you gave up your like your Kevindom?
Oh my gosh.
So before your final performance of Come From Away, what did you eat before you were no longer a Kevin?
I think my mom was with us. My mom was staying with us, and I had a full mommy breakfast. And for me, I'm from Guatemala. That meant tortillas and beans and scrambled eggs with tomato and onion and everything that I absolutely love and grew up with. And I woke up, and my mom had made like a feast for me as a kind of celebration and goodbye to the show.
That's really sweet.
I love that.
And my final question in this very serious topic of you no longer being a Kevin is, what is a scenario in your life in the future where you will tell someone your name is Kevin in order to have that extra power that comes along with being named Kevin?
The moment my husband pisses me off.
That's it's like when people say
your husband.
Oh, like yes. You just wanted to say husband.
I totally did, but I will absolutely like clap back at him whenever.
That's incredible. Instead of having like your indoor voice, it's your like Kevin voice.
Yes, totally.
Don't make me pull out my Kevin.
And I just give him one more excuse to have me committed. My gosh.
Well, I do sincerely apologize that you don't have the membership in the Kevin Club anymore, but I will allow you to use the powers of the Kevin when you need to in your daily life. So this has
Can
been
I just have like a lifer card. I mean, eight years of being a Kevin, I should be a lifer at this point.
I mean, you you at least are like being reviewed for possible life or status because you're on you're on a cast album, like an OBC, where you're Kevin, so you're like recognized as like the Kevin for that show.
Yes.
So you may be a forever Kevin. The next time you come on the show, I'll let you know what the board has decided.
I love it.
This has been
my goodness.
Kevin's Corner.
Oh, I have a Kevin follow-up question.
Oh, I love it. Give him a Kevin follow-up.
Was there ever a time in your 8 years where either you were supposed to be Kevin and you were dressed as someone else or you had to be Kevin? Because there's so many characters in that show. So was there ever a time where you had the wrong costume on?
But we only have one costume.
Wait, that's true.
Did you ever forget
just
to
like put... you entered as the wrong person in
no,
your
but
mind.
I've forgotten to put costume pieces on. I've forgotten to put costume pieces on and you just kind of go with it and pray and hope. Or sometimes the costume pieces are thrown at you from behind a tree or something. So you can keep going.
Did you ever?
The beauty of that show, though, is just like there's only like just like adjust your walk and then you're someone else.
Oh, totally. Adjust your walk and just like, you know, if your voice goes lower, just go even lower to be that more different.
Did you ever put on Jen Colella's vest just to feel the power?
I wanted to steal that vest. I don't know if you've had a close up of that vest, but it has little faces like the It's a Small World dolls. It is the freakiest thing you could ever see. And you need to see a close up of this vest.
I want to know where they found the fabric. Cause clearly there are many, many multiples of that vest that someone made by hand.
I know. I know. And now it's in different companies around the world. We thought this was a one-off.
In 10 years, they're going to be sourcing that fabric, trying to find it.
You know
can see that really up close in the live cap, like in the Apple live
cap. We have gotten a close-up.
That's the first time I realized that there were creepy dolls on it.
Yeah.
And look at that and look at a picture of It's a Small World and it's the same thing.
Well, let's talk about the live cap since Kevin did such a way better job at segueing than I ever could. I mean, I'm just kind of, we loved it. What a good experience it was. We're so thrilled that that is on film somewhere. That's like easily accessible for everybody, not just like have to go to the library to see it. I guess my question for you is like, just like, if I could, like, what was the experience like? Because you came back to it after not doing it for a while. You had to rehearse to do it, I guess, but you rehearsed
one
more
of the first companies
way.
Back in a theater.
Yeah,
it was,
just go. I want to hear about it.
I mean, it was surreal. I mean, now that we're a little bit past that kind of shutdown time, you really forget what that was like. And we were in a hotel that we had quarantine ourselves for, a good couple of days. I think it was a week we had a quarantine. We weren't allowed to see each other. We weren't allowed. We had to stay in our hotel room. Meals were delivered outside our door and you were only allowed to open your door and grab that meal.
Wow.
But remember, we hadn't seen each other for over a year. And when we shut down, we had no idea what was happening. So, the theater, what I wish people could see is what Broadway theaters were like after the shutdown, because they were time capsules. My dressing room had my coffee cup from the night before and it had everything. It had my costume like on the floor from the night before. It was as if no one had touched anything. And then theater just disappeared for a year. And then the first time you walked back in, nothing was touched. And it was astonishing to see something like that. So here we are kind of all by ourselves. We never got to say goodbye to anybody in our company. We just kind of disappeared from each other's lives. We saw each other over Zoom, maybe every week, every 2 weeks, because we definitely kept in touch that way. And then all of a sudden we're in this building together and we start rehearsing this show that we love so much together in a conference room with this massive kind of divide in between the room that we had to work around. And we're getting to songs like Something's Gone, and it has deepened so much because of the pandemic. And it was almost, we could barely get through it that first time. And then we get to the theater for the first time and you have to get escorted from the just COVID protocols from the hotel to the theater. And Midtown, that is usually so vibrant and full of life, was completely desolate and empty. And our you know, the theaters, the Broadway theaters were desolate and empty, and nobody was there except for us walking down the street to the theater. It was an astonishing time. And I think Chris Ashley tried to capture that in the first moments of the live capture, kind of showing pictures of what Times Square was like. And then came the day of the capture, and our company starts walking down the street, and all of a sudden you just start hearing people kind of screaming and cheering from their windows, from apartment windows. And people somehow heard that this was happening and that we were going to be, you know, this show that was being taped and actually done in a time where nothing was happening in our industry. And it gives me goosebumps to think that people were craving art so much and were so appreciative of art going on, that that's what was happening, that people were screaming outside of their apartment windows when they couldn't be outside. And, you know, that whole time taping that show was a time I'll never forget. You know, going into that theater for the first time, being able to be on our stage, telling this story, having one of the first Broadway audiences see live theater after we've shut down. It's crazy how much you forget about all this stuff now that we're kind of heading really back to normal. And and it was a completely different time of our lives.
And remind me.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, go for it. Go for it.
I was just going to, and how special that is, that something that meant so much to you and spent so much of your career on, you now have like a professional grade, like time capsule experience of it that you can show family and friends for years and years to come.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of that live capture. And I feel like it really did justice to what our show feels like, you know, in the theater. Sometimes live captures don't feel like the actual theatrical experience, and nothing is ever going to feel like live theater, but I think this comes very close to it.
Yeah. Did you rehearse differently? Like for the camera, did you just like put up the show and know when the shots were? Like, what was that rehearsal process specifically for a live cap? Like,
we really rehearsed the show from top to bottom, like you usually would. And then as soon as people started getting comfortable with it, Chris, Ashley and Kelly Devine, really started layering in how we need to keep the camera in mind. And, you know, when we did the live capture, we did the show twice. And then, you know, we did a full week of just individual shots, you know, that were really short, you know, 5-minute shots, 10-minute shots, 30-second shots. You would never be able to tell. That's what I love about it. That's what I love about it. You know, you would never know that wasn't the time that our audience was in the house.
And from your perspective, because Chris Ashley had just done the Diana live cap, did you feel like because he already had experience, like it was a little bit easier? I think that was first. That like that it was a little bit more smooth and an easier experience for Comfort Away because he had experience and then he was able to kind of like bring that to the table.
Absolutely. I mean, our whole team did Diana. So they took everything that they learned from that live capture and brought it to Come From Away. You know,
that one's really good too. And like, they feel different. Yeah. They're totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. They told me, I mean, I just know from the way that they taped it, that it was totally different. You know, stuff that you would never think about, like sound, you know, for our live capture, they learned that we needed to have in-ears and we could not have a live band playing. So everything that you hear is actually going through our in-ears, and you don't hear a live band in the theater. It's crazy. And like, I can't believe that we actually did that.
With so the audience, they didn't have the a band audience either? Just
when we did it with the audience, we did our show, but like anything that we did without the audience, we had our band going through our ears.
I was just imagining the audience sitting through an a cappella Come From Away, and that was just a wild experience.
Well, not the actual audience that you see, you know, in the live capture, because they saw the performance, but anything besides that, and we had, you know, crew that would watch and stuff, it was a complete a cappella Come From Away.
So the screech in sequence and all of that stuff, or even just like the opening number, or like when you, those wide shots when the band is like behind you and playing when they're on stage, like is that only from the audience one? Like, are they there like fake playing? Like, I'm like mind boggled right now.
Like a music video.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that. Everything was coming through our in-ears. Yeah.
Everything. That's incredible.
That was a whole skill we had to learn. We had to learn how to listen to each other differently. We had to learn how to sing with in-ears. We had to have special in-ears made for us. And it's an extremely technical skill. And we had to learn it within like 2 or 3 days.
How many times during that process with the in-ear did you pretend to be either Britney Spears or Mariah Carey?
Take one out. Let it droop. You're too emotional.
Especially being Mariah Carey from the New Year's Eve debacle where she couldn't hear.
Absolutely. Oh, that was glorious. Well, I try, you know, any moment that I could have.
Right? I feel like it's like, they're like, can we all hold for 5? And you're like, yep, okay. And you're over in the corner being like, Pippi, baby, one more time.
Like, where's Caesar? Oh, doing Mariah Carey again.
Caesar's doing Mariah for New Year's Eve again. Yeah. And you're in the corner clapping, being like, can't hear.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so good.
Was it challenging or weird to kind of have a patchwork of different actors from different time periods, like in the show, like some coming back, others who are in the show currently, like kind of mixing and matching, or did that not matter?
Gosh, it felt so, it was amazing actually, because it felt like this was the only time this version of the story was ever going to be told. And it allowed us not only to come back to the show because of the shutdown, but it allowed us to approach rehearsals completely fresh without any of the stuff that we used to do, and like really kind of re-explore it and reinvestigate it and reinvestigate how this would become, you know, with the different people that we're playing with. You know, Tony LaPage and I have had, you know, have our own special version of the two Kevins. And that took rehearsal and exploration and trust. And I'm just so grateful for him that we got to, and for us to be able to go on that journey together.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's so cool. It was just a magic. We were very excited to get so many live caps and even so many musical movies in general, but the live caps were really special just to like, especially shows we'd seen before that we know were going to affect us, like Come From Away. Was really nice to see. Also, it was nice to see so many friends of the show in that production, you set yourself included, obviously, and it really brought us a lot of joy. So I can only imagine the amount of joy that it brought everyone. And hearing your experience doing it is like pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Oh, no, Kimberly, go for it.
I was going to say that you're so right that it was one of the few live captures that really does, as much as it can, feel like you're seeing the show. And I think that's a testament to just like how theatrical Come From Away is in general, that like you're never going to think you're watching a movie. Like all of the magic is theater magic. And like the fact that it can come through on screen is very cool for anyone who like didn't get a chance to see it or won't get to see it. And we all
please
love
see it. Yeah. Yes. I just love it. I love that it captured the magic of that show, which I think comes from simplicity and the heart of the story.
Definitely. Well, before we play our game, I do have one question for you. We've never talked about it, and I can't believe we've never talked about it, but you were in the Pee Wee Herman show on Broadway.
Yes.
I grew up watching Pee Wee. Pee Wee's Big Adventure is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, me too.
I guess just quickly before we play the game, like, I don't know. What was that experience like in terms of, like, you have younger audiences, you have audiences coming for nostalgia. You're actually working with Paul Rubens, who's like a legend. Like what was, who's been through a lot. And just to see this character come back in general is probably like a thing he never thought would happen after a certain point in time. Like, what was it like working with like the Paul Rubens?
Did your mother take you seriously when you said, I'm going to be in the Pee Wee Herman show on Broadway? Just all of it.
Let me put it this way. When I made my debut in the Pee Wee Herman show, my family came and everybody came dressed as Pee Wee Herman. That's how big Pee Wee Herman was for me, like growing up. I mean, they all had the red ties. They all had like a gray jacket.
That's so cute.
Imagine that you walk into your rehearsal studio on a daily basis and the first thing you see is Cherry just sitting there. Like imagine that is what my, you know, that was my daily rehearsal experience for the Pee Wee Herman show. Pee Wee Herman was like icon growing up. I mean, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, I can't tell you how many times I've watched this. And I remember when I walked into the room to audition for him, I was like, what? Like, I'm going to be trying out all these characters in front of Paul Rubin. Like, it was too much for me. It was such a huge joy. And I remember I booked Pee Wee Herman and I flipped. And on the same day I booked Sister Act. So it was like one of those kind of, oh my God, days that happened. And I was able to go to my rehearsals and be able to be fully present for the Pee Wee Herman show, knowing that this other beautiful show was happening right after.
Wait. You got a phone call from New York twice in one day.
I got the Broadway call twice in one day. And
Broadway didn't even consolidate their time by giving you one call with two offers. Broadway literally was like, we're going to call him at 2 and 3:30. Like, that's insane.
It was insane.
And a call twice with two
insane
things that would work consecutively, not like something you had to choose.
It was almost perfect. I think Pee-wee like ended, and then something like 4 days later, Sister Act started because it was a very limited run. It was a limited holiday run.
So did you just like call your family and they just like screamed and were excited? And then an hour later, you're like, I know this is ridiculous.
This is not how it also works.
I booked my second Broadway show.
I can't even begin to be like, you diminish it. It was crazy. It was just astonishing. It was like, I don't know if I'll ever feel something like that before. Like again, you know.
Now what's more ridiculous? That experience of booking two Broadway shows in one day, or doing a Broadway themed podcast in your car on the side of
I mean, I kind of love that my life is just like moments of ridiculousness, one right after the other.
Yeah, I love that. Let's play a game.
All right.
I'm realizing that this game is very apt to the current situation happening in the lower corner of our Zoom, which is Dirty Hands on a Hard Body, which is just about touching a car. So,
all right.
So here funny. I am. Anyway, you have two hands up. It's a categories game. Your hand is down, and then we'll do rapid fire sort of in one category as fast as we can. So for instance, and we'll go the order we're in. So it would go me to Caesar to Kevin to Brian to me. And so for instance, if the category is colors, I would say yellow.
Red.
Blue.
Purple.
Oh, no. I said purple, which is the same thing Brian said. So then I would be out of the game.
Okay.
And then if you are out, you pick the next category. And it just goes until one person wins. Should we play with two hands or one? What do we think?
Well, we could do two.
Yeah, let's do two hands. Okay. So you have.
And what do you mean? I like make up a question then, say I'm out, I make up a question.
Yeah. So if you get out or if like your one hand goes up, so you basically get like two lives, then gotcha. You would pick the next category for us all to go through. But I'll pick the first category, which is musicals based on true events. So I'll start with Come From Away.
Los Otros.
Mac and Mabel.
Summer, the Donna Summer musical.
Hamilton.
The Cher Show.
Mike, MJ.
Wicked is not right, so I'll put a hand up.
I kept wanting to say Mamma Mia as though I thought Mamma Mia was
no, like, that's what I thought of first. The first thing I thought of was Mamma Mia. I'm like, that's not right. It's got to be Wicked. I don't know why. I couldn't think of one more bio musical.
Wait, what musical, Brian?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Kevin. I was thinking of Mamma Mia.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, thank
no,
you.
No.
I don't know what that show is when you say Mamma Mia.
All right, Brian, you get to pick the next category.
Sure. Let's do musicals that are currently on Broadway, like running right now.
Okay. And you start.
I'll start with Come From Away.
Oh, then it's me. Hamilton.
No, isn't Kevin next?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. I'm right. Sorry. Sorry, 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 sorry.
Caesar's turn.
Six.
Music Man.
MJ.
Into the Woods.
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
An answer that works. Wicked.
A Strange Loop.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
I love that show.
Such a good one.
Good one.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So you got one hand up and you can pick a category.
It's that one show about those people and then they have that problem, but by the end they solve it and everything's okay.
Yeah.
Love that show.
So what do you mean pick a category? Just make something up?
Yeah.
Okay. One word musicals.
Ooh, titles. Good one.
Cool. Oliver.
Once.
Rent.
Hair.
Annie.
Wicked.
Parade.
Pippin.
Five, four.
Legally Blonde.
Two.
Broadway musical villains.
Okay.
All right. We're going to get into some arguments.
Do I start?
Yeah.
Jafar.
Ursula.
Javert?
Yeah.
Scar.
Oh, sorry. It's my turn. Paternity tests. Mamma Mia.
I will give it for it to you just because you said the musical right.
Okay, thank you.
Oh. So now I actually have to pick up one. Madame Morrible? Is she the villain?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my mind is only on Wicked now.
Miss Hannigan.
Yeah, that works.
Good one.
Broadway musical. Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Question. How existential are we going? Like,
you said paternity tests and it was approved. So you can say anything you want.
So I'm going with time. I feel like a lot of musicals are against time. Like also like George and Sunday in the Park with George is like, feels like he's up against time to create something.
Kevin, you created like this monster. You say yes or no.
Falsettos, they're up against time in terms of like death and things of that nature. I'm going with time, baby.
I would have only accepted time if you had said it within relation to the new musical in London, Back to the Future. But since you did not use that example.
No, but Biff's the villain.
I'm sorry. That was the only option.
Rude.
You have okay. Brian's out.
Brian's so out, out. All right. So you can give a category, but then you're out, out.
Sure. Shows, Broadway shows with live caps.
Okay. I'll start with Diana.
Sweeney Todd.
Newsies.
Into the Woods.
This me?
Mm-hmm.
Pippin.
She Loves Me.
Come From Away.
I say we let him go.
Pee Wee Herman Show.
Did they live cap that?
They totally did for HBO.
Right?
Yeah, I thought they great. Did.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, I had one. Oh, Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, do those NBC Lives count?
No.
Oh. Close.
Oh,
that's its own category.
Huh? That's is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Legally Blonde.
Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, damn.
Just picturing my DVD collection from high school.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, with Donny Osmond.
The
yeah.
Creepy Children. four, three,
Gypsy with two. Imelda Staunton.
Yeah.
You did say Broadway live caps, but okay.
Oh, I did say Broadway live caps. That doesn't
not
count.
West End
live? Yeah.
Okay, I will accept that. So that's yeah. Two hands up. So I'm out.
Oh, so are you out?
Yeah, so it's Kimberly and Caesar for the win. And your category. Oh. Your category. Is? Hey, your category is...
How many hands do you have?
I still have both hands down. But we can just do a rapid fire to win.
All right, rapid fire to win. And your category is... types of pie.
Oh, I'm making pie later today. Anything can be a pie. I'll say chicken pot pie.
I'll say apple pie.
Cherry pie.
Key lime pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Lemon meringue pie.
Pecan pie.
Shepherd's pie.
Chess pie.
Frito what? Pie.
Okay. Brownie pie. It's a thing.
Vanilla custard pie.
Yeah.
Peach pie.
Chocolate mousse pie.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds delicious. Blueberry pie.
Pudding pie.
Okay. I don't know if I can let pudding pie slide.
I was half expecting someone to say, like, cutie pie.
Cutie pie. Wow, that would have been good.
I almost let it slide just because the way you said pudding pie immediately covered your mouth like a little kid who had said like a bad word and was proud of themselves.
I knew the moment I said it, I was like, this is so bad.
My new challenge is to make you a pudding pie. I'll figure it out.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, I have one hands on a hard body, I guess.
Yes.
Hooray. Woo.
All right.
Well, that does bring us to the end of our episode. We'll let you get back on the road. Thank you so much, more than any other time. Thank you so much for literally taking time out of your drive to join us today. We appreciate you. Tell us a little bit where we can find tickets for the new Lacusa show.
Please. I mean, if you just go on to any of my social media, you know, kind of places, you could find all the info there. It's a gorgeous show. It's a simple show and it just speaks a lot about humanity. So come check us out.
And I just found out I will be there on Thursday.
Woo! All right.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. We end every episode with a quote. And today it's, make me a channel of your peace where there's despair in life. Let me bring hope where there is darkness, only light. That's obviously going to come from Away. Thank you for joining us. Again, you can follow us wherever you get podcasts, including things like Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
Follow us on all the social medias at BroadWasted. You can find us on Patreon as well. But as we end every episode, we raise a toast and we say...
Cheers!
Cheers! Caesar, stay safe. Cheers. Safe driving. Text us when you get there.
Oh my goodness, can I take a screenshot very quickly?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Caesar.
Thank you. It's great seeing you again.
You too. Drive
Bye.
Safe.
Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.